For all the time and energy that a person puts into resisting, if they just put that into doing the few things that it takes to adjust that personal style, not take it as a victim or that you're changing for somebody, but you're doing it to adapt. That's the key. A lot of turmoil over nothing. All the consideration. You're kind and everything else, but you skip that step. Justify it as what the world's been teaching. Me, me, me. The stupidest movement I've ever heard of. It's destroying everybody. Including the people who don't participate.
Reprogram the lies that we tell ourselves that live in our subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we'll start by saying some of the basic universal ones. They are, I am not enough. I'm not lovable. There's not enough. I'm not worthy, and so on. And how We love this question. How do we get rid of these lies? Well, we will tell you that all fears are built on a lie. And if you deal with the fear, the lie will die. So recognize the lies by their quality, their characteristic of fear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For there are only two choices to make. To love and trust, or fear and doubt. Those are the only two choices to make. So you recognize lies by the fear inside of them. And here is another way you recognize lies. You recognize them by the fruit, the bad fruit. If you had, Alex, an apple tree planted in your yard, and it had been there, let's say, for 20, 30 years, and every year, like clockwork, all the fruit on it was rotten. You would probably uproot it. And so this is how we know lies. Lies are rooted in fear, and they consistently produce bad fruit. So all you have to do is check the fruit of the thought you are thinking. If the fruit of it, if it makes you feel miserable, is sick, poisoned in your spirit, if it makes you unhappy or distraught, if it causes resistance of some sort in you, or a contraction of wanting to withdraw or hide or freeze, then it is a lie. And these lies are very deeply rooted, subconscious, and most of them, like the apple tree, it can take decades for a fruit tree to have fruit. From the seed to the fruit, many decades can pass. And most of these seeds are planted in the psyche of beautiful little innocent children by, unfortunately, their parents, teachers, cultural norms. And we're not saying that to blame parents or any such thing, but only that to tell the truth of that's how it is. And so these seeds are planted very young, and also many are carried in from past lives. And these produce the fruits that you don't want in today. And so the problem comes when we try to climb up the tree and snip off the bad fruit and prune the tree and so on and so on and so on, But none of that will work to get the root out. So we're going to give you all right now a script for how you begin to address these subconscious beliefs, because you cannot do it with affirmations or changing behaviors and so on, particularly if they are primarily from a past life. They must be done on an unconscious level, as our friend Dr. Bruce Lipton has taught us very well. Mm-hmm. And so here is how you begin. When you sit down to meditate or you lie down at night, you say, Judah or Source or whoever you connect with, would you please tag and treat this bad fruit of anger, anxiety, worry, whatever the bad fruit is for you, would you please tag it and treat it? Would you please go to the origin of the subconscious beliefs, of the wounding that has caused this bad fruit? Would you find its very beginning, whether it be in this life or in a past life? And would you treat it and transform it and clear all karmic energy from the original wound in the past, present, parallel, and future realities? And this is how you go about it. And so, for example, if this vessel has a difficult conversation with someone and she's feeling frustrated or angry or hurt, she doesn't need to understand all the details or what happened in past lives and so on. It's fine if she does. We're not saying that there's not merit in that, but let's just get all about the shortcut here. This is what we're about, shortcuts, because the time is come and ascension is nigh and we're at the door. And so let's make it quick here. And so she will say, Judah, please, I don't know what this is that I'm feeling. Would you please tag and treat it? Would you please heal and transform the original wound that's causing me to feel this way? And we do. And it is that easy.
Thank you so much for that answer. Now, have a...
Damn, huh? Good stuff.
Those who build walls are pretending that forever they can defend them. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And those who dam streams can build fountains. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. But those of us who just let them run free, what? We can move mountains. But I know they never gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No.
Have you ever heard that expression? Let your mind be open to everything and attached to nothing. It's a good thing to remember to help you navigate through tricky times, tricky situations, through basically life. Let your mind be open to everything and attached to nothing. Now, I say that, and I know other people who have confirmed that they believe that is a good way to live life. It helps you from stumbling, it helps you from falling, it helps you from rigid mindset and being difficult and being judgmental and being stubborn and set on certain particular things. That same saying, of course, no matter how wonderful it is, comes with its equal and opposite polar reaction. Contrast, if you will. those that are offended by it have their minds deeply attached to something, and they're closed off. They're closed-minded on one or more topics, and can't allow the other possibility to exist. Now, I must say, as much as I like that form of thought, as much as I want to practice it, I definitely have a lot of work to do. I also have the ability to admit that, which is a magic ingredient in support of change. When I give concepts and ideas, I typically speak of the one that holds the most powerful influence over me, the one that seems to be the one that makes the most sense, it's the most right. Now, does what I say have to be right? Of course not. I don't have to be right. I don't have, my answer, my response doesn't have to be altruistic. It doesn't have to top all. But what it does need to do is be the best idea that I know of, the one that makes the most sense. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If it doesn't make sense, it's nonsense. Now, the ideas that I share with you, some of them may be mine, but most of them are somebody else's idea. And of all the ideas I've heard about a particular topic or subject, whatever the interest is, of all of the ideas that I've heard to date, the one that I side with, the one that I choose, is the one that makes the most sense. If I had an idea or a belief previously to that situation, then that's all I had to go on, or that's what I was going on. But then somebody came along and said, hey, have you thought of it this way? Have you thought of this, or have you thought of that? And when that idea trumps the one that I'm using, or the one that I'm conditioned to use, or the one that I use out of, you know, just most of us do things out of habit. So sometimes it takes me a minute or two, but I'm open to the new idea. I'm open to the better idea. I'm open to the better concept. The one that makes the most sense. Now, if mine made sense, this one makes more sense. The one that makes more sense always gets to be in the front of the pack. That is the pack leader. That's the idea or concept that wins out. It trumps all. So, and I'm not talking political, but we could be talking political because this concept works with everything. So they say treat people the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule, right? Everything we ever needed to know in life, to be an adult, to be a good person, to function well in society, we learned it in kindergarten. Your manners. And everything after that is just added to the complexity of things in life. So I was talking with a friend tonight, and I make a comment about something and I recognize there's still a limited belief there. There's still a limited belief. The friend says, oh, I'm too old for that. And I'm like, no, you're not. And the individual says, yes, I am. And we went back and forth on that for quite a while. And it's like, so you have this limited belief and you put an age on it. And I really just wanted to know what was the cutoff for that? And does that apply to everybody, or does that just apply to the moment of the way you're seeing things? Because everybody has a different perspective on that, whether they're too old for something or not. But that limited belief does nothing but limit your life, your potential, your situation, your whatever ideas you have or dreams. Like, the second you come up with some objective that you justify and are just hell-bent on that's it, is the one that wins. Somebody else can see things differently for you. They can give you excellent advice. They can point you in the right direction. But if you come up with an excuse or another concept, or you just are so bought in to the idea that you have, that you're not willing to open your mind up enough to hear out what the other person was trying to say. It really gets, it's sad, because it takes a healthy conversation. It takes a healthy conversation in which an individual or multiple individuals can grow from self-expression. And ultimately, I think we should all be in congruence with similar concepts that support not what our belief is, but the best idea, the best way to view the situation or the perspective, the best perspective, the best perception for that particular thought or concept or idea that we're discussing. My whole point of this is I find it really sad how close-minded adults become. I'm not exempt from this group, but I've witnessed it in so many people. I've witnessed it in myself. And until we really dig in and ask ourselves, or can be open-minded enough to allow the other person to ask us the question, what makes you too old? And your only response is, it's a habit. You're glitching. You're stuck. The record player is skipping on that same particular belief. Do you know what a belief is? A belief is just a thought you keep thinking. And you keep thinking it so much you believe it. Now, with all the quotes, all the affirmations, all the content stuffed in front of your face, swiped left, swiped right, scrolled up, scrolled down, found it, came to you, marketed to you, whatever it may be. Best one should rule out the ones that aren't as good. The best one for you pick the best one. I will tell you one thing. To use age as a reason why you can or can't do something is redonkulous. Now, we have certain laws. They're man-made laws. Do they work for everybody? Not necessarily. Do they work for the majority? Typically. A lot of laws should be gone through with a fine-tooth comb. Open, you know, like, we should be finding that stuff. We should be dissecting it. We should be asking particular questions and what it is about that particular thing that we believe. We should also be trying to identify if that belief was put there, if it's limited, or if it actually has a place to help people grow, to expand their world point of view. When it comes to voting, for example, like, so when I talk about the law thing, and I'm just going to briefly touch on this, but we have so many damn laws. We have so many laws that even lawyers don't know all the laws. They have specialties, just like doctors, like you specialize in a particular topic or field of interest. Some people, you know, specialize in divorce, which is huge in America right now. It's ridiculous, especially like the Miami area. Fort Lauderdale, not so much because there's older people there, but Miami is just confused. There are more divorce attorneys in that area than anywhere else. They specialize in that. Now, would you hire that divorce attorney to represent you in a traffic situation? You know, where you have to go to court through that? Probably not. Would you hire them, you know, for, you know, any of the other nefarious acts that land you in a situation of incarceration? Probably not. Each person has their particular fields that they're skilled at. However, there are some general practitioners and, you know, general lawyers. The thing about those people is they're probably leaning in one direction or another towards a particular topic that they understand quite well. But to know all of it, they're probably not the best. I mean, they might dabble and they might have some, you know, information that would, you know, definitely assist you in a situation. Or if you have a, you know, sickness or some sort of ailment where you're trying to figure it out. I mean, a general practitioner can typically, you know, guide you in the right direction. You know, usually they might will know what it is, but sometimes they're just off. They're so off. They're dead wrong because they're not a specialist, because they don't really know. They haven't studied that particular thing that much. And yet we go and we give them money and we seek out their advice on things that they're not well-equipped and trained or specialized in to necessarily offer you any type of direction, especially for a fee. So I don't understand how people can get it wrong all the time and still get paid. People always said, oh, the weatherman, they're the only one who can be wrong every day and still have their job. That's not true. There's a lot of people out there who still have a job, who still get paid for services where they do nothing for you, but waste your time, spin you in circles, spin themselves in circles, and don't necessarily address the core issue. Or, and why are we paying people for that? Why are we paying? You know, if you take your car in to get it fixed, I know I hear about this all the time. For example, my truck, 2018, and I come across, I was trying to figure out like why there's hesitation in the transmission. It's a great truck other than this particular transmission thing. And it used to downshift really hard at times, like out of nowhere. And sometimes the gears slip. And I thought, you know, I'm going to quick look this up. And I go to look it up on YouTube and just to see if I could catch a quick video of the diagnostics, whatever it may be. And the first one says there is a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit against Ford for this particular issue, the transmission issues. And it was from 2017 through 2019, the 10-speed transmission. And there was 97,000 views on this YouTube clip. And there was 47,000 responses in the comment section. I read and I read and I read and I read as many as I could. And I kept going and I kept going. In every single one of those 47, I mean, I can't say that I hit all 47,000, but they're all saying the same thing. And we're talking, several people had mentioned only having 6,000 miles on the vehicle before they'd noticed it. I've also heard people talk about how intelligent this vehicle is and the transmission is, and it adjusts to the driver. However, the person who made the video made a comment like 6,000 miles is plenty of time to adjust. It knows your driving style. There's no real good rhyme or reason why we're having issues other than they made a faulty product. And I looked it up by VIN. I didn't. Somebody looked it up for me. And they said there's a lot of vehicles that fit that, you know, description, but your VIN isn't one of them. And I thought to myself, well, it's not one of them because I haven't reported it in yet, but once I do, it should be on a recall. It shouldn't have to be that way though. And then I was thinking to myself too, the dealership that sold it to me, because it was used, when that's your line of business, you're well aware of, especially if it's 47,000 responses to just one of the videos, saying that every person on there is like, oh my God, like this, yeah, this happened to me. I mean, there's a couple of them like, eh, mine doesn't give me any trouble yet. Yeah, well, there's way too many on there to have. And they all sound exactly like the same things that I've been dealing with. And then, this is my point, was that they would take this vehicle in and take it to the dealer, and there's many comments about them having the vehicle for a month or better, or several different times taking it in, and each time they get it back, it was worse than before they brought it in, and then there would be like fluid leaking around. And then I would imagine that there was a bill with that, unless it was under some extended warranty or any type of warranty. But the deal is, though, if you're a dealership, like that's cream of the crop, right? That's where the real trained technicians are, right? They give you certified training on how to handle anything on everything that they've ever produced. And especially the newer models, as they keep coming out, they have to go to these continuing education. Well, How is it then that you can hand a vehicle back after that much time has gone by and not have it fixed or that it would function worse than it did prior to bringing it in? And how is it then that you found it acceptable to have a leak and let this, let the consumer take it from you, and then in exchange for currency, for a monetary value, like you put a price on it and you didn't even fix it. You charge somebody to do what? Do shame on you. Shame on any company doing that out there. Shame on, and then shame on us for allowing that to happen. And shame on, you know, all of, you know, these overseeing agencies that are supposedly there for the consumer and there to protect us and there to, you know, to report your complaints to. I mean, we have an insurance commissioner. You know, we have the FTC. We have a lot of different things available to us. But what is there? Why do we have to? Why are you? Why is, you know? And I love Ford. So, you know, you can boo me or whatever, or you know, or be on my side. It doesn't really matter to me. But I'm saying I have nothing against the company. But it disgusts me to know that they're going to drag this out and try their damnedest not to turn it into a recall and do their damnedest to not, you know, inform everyone out there with the situation. Now, from what I've also understood, it's a very life-threatening. It could be a life-threatening situation. Many people have claimed to get whiplash because what they're saying is the truck does a nosedive. So if you're, especially if you live in a, you know, a metro area where you're just cruising along with traffic and you know, sometimes traffic's doing 80, 90 miles an hour. It's just the way it is. And it does a nosedive. It just completely dies and it comes to like a stop, and it comes to a stop like right now. That's life threatening because people don't leave room to stop like that down here. And that's why there's an accident every single day, multiple accidents every single day. I know for the first several years I lived here in Florida and I would drive from Clearwater Beach to Tampa for work every single day, and I can't remember there ever being a day that I didn't see an accident. So you're a manufacturer, you make a faulty product, and it isn't just this company, because I know all the companies do this stuff, but you make a product, you sell it to the consumer as what a wonderful thing this is. And you're not taking ownership of the fault. You're not, because what? Because you don't want the loss, or you're trying to delay the loss because you're going to use that money for, you know, for purchasing power, for other investments, for whatever it is to keep your head, you know, above water, to keep the company going. I mean, and I know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know there was a time when, you know, Ford Motor Company was, you know, struggling. Like the Detroit plant was done. Like that city, Detroit, Michigan, was based on Ford. Like it was there because of Ford. And then it turned into a ghost town. And now it's making a big comeback. And I understand because of how that could affect other families and stuff. But we got people putting spaceships together and shooting them off into outer space. We got rockets going out there. We got all kinds of technology. We can make shit that doesn't break. We can make shit that's safe. We can do hard things. We can also not put something on the market until you know damn well it's safe. We can also not offer to sell it to consumers until you're ready, until you got all the bugs worked out of it. Now that's a law that should go into place. Meanwhile, there's laws against spitting in public. You know, I guess, you know, every situation's a little different. I mean, yeah, it would be kind of gross if somebody kept doing that over and over, but like, what, giving them a citation is going to solve everything? And that citation does what? It financially impacts the offender. That doesn't make them learn their lesson. It doesn't explain to them why it's disgusting or why it's inappropriate. It does nothing to heal the situation. We are financially supporting a system of rules and regulations, all these laws that we're continuously violating at some point or another, whether it's me, you, or somebody you know. Like, and a lot of times you don't even know you're in violation unless somebody just happens to know that that's something that would create some sort of revenue by calling somebody out on it. Well, and then if I'm not mistaken, pleading ignorance is not supported. Like, you're not allowed to be ignorant of the laws because it's there for you, and it's there for you to study, and it's there for you to know. It's a huge business, and it impacts a lot of people in a lot of different ways. There are a lot of really good laws man has made. There's a lot of unnecessary laws that we should do away with. We should be combing through the books. We should have we should have another law that there's not, you know, here's the thing. The rule should be, and I don't even want to say law, but there should be a rule, like, so many, you can only have so many laws per particular subject or topic, and they should all have to be gone through, and all of them, every, you know, so often, just like, you know, for auditing's sake, like, you know, retention, like, you keep files, you retain them for a particular amount of time before you can send them to Iron Mountain or wherever, Shred City, and dispose of them. But in the meanwhile, you got to hold on to them. Well, it's the same thing with that. Like, I mean, if a law has been written X amount of time ago and it hasn't been revised, updated, or just redocumented as, yes, we've, you know, this has been opened, discussed, exposed, questioned, and understood that it is a necessity to keep it. They should just disappear and fall off. Like, you know, if the law was written too long ago and nobody's revisited it and nobody's needed that particular law to, you know, if it wasn't, you know, really assisting, why are we still letting it be out there? Because some things get so outdated, they just don't fit with the times. Some things are ineffective. Some things are just there for the financial sake of it. Like, I mean, hey, if you got a blinker out or a tail light out, look, I get it, but there's got to be 101 different ways to inform that individual. It has nothing. They shouldn't get a citation, first of all. And it shouldn't be one thing leads to another that puts people in any situation, because just because you know, because it's like you're nitpicking, you're finding any little thing you can to see if you can find more things. And you're only looking to find things so you can generate income for your own salary, for the salary of your comrades, and for your office building, and for everything that, you know, society supports and pays for, because you justified it as like an error on the civilian's behalf. Well, we got way too many people struggling in this world to continue to suppress them and beat them down and put them in a poverty situation. You know, we have people going to prison for drugs. What the hell is wrong with you? You send them to treatment. Correctional facility, you better be correcting, you know, the habit, the pattern, the particular topic of whatever it is. There's, now I'm not saying, like, but that's a whole nother system of making money, right? And most prisons are independently owned. The wards are, and we support it as if it's part of the system, but it's not. They just created it. They built it and said, hey, bring your shit here. Bring your bad guys here. And this is our fee for doing all this. Well, a lot of people do not belong there. Do you realize what you're doing to these people? You're taking away that very precious thing that everybody is supposed to be understanding is precious, and finding gratitude for what little time they do have on this earth. You know, I've heard of several people that have passed away recently, and you know, the older you get, the more people that happens to. And these people, a lot of them are very young, and you know, a lot of it is cancer, but you know, I'm not necessarily so sure that, you know, putting a crackhead behind bars is going to solve their problems. Okay, so they don't have access to it or whatever. Well, you can do that in a rehab center too. I mean, you know, if they're not getting the proper treatment while they're in there, and I know some places do, and I know, you know, there's all kinds of little, you know, tweaks to how different states and agencies and everything handle things. But ultimately, we put somebody on a pedestal, we give them the title of judge, and now they're God, and they get to play with people's lives. And yeah, some people do belong there. They certainly do. But they should be there with therapy. They should be there with a therapist. They should have scheduled daily, you know, one-on-ones, or however you got to do whatever you got to do to bring some sort of therapeutic resolution to the situation, or at least try, make the effort. And nobody should be exempt from that. There shouldn't be one person in prison that doesn't have the option, the ability, or the mandatory right to be filled, have the opportunity to express, to identify, to make things better for themselves one way or another. I believe that there's so much to fix. Where do you start? You start local, you start small, you start with.
Damn y'all, let's see. I am an irresistible magnet for all that belongs to me. The infinite spirit, he opens a way for great abundance to flow into my life. Yup, I now smash and demolish by my spoken word every untrue record in my subconscious mind. They now return to their dust heap of their nothing nativeness. For I am creator, and those things that came from my own vain imaginings. I now make my perfect records to the God within, records of health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. This is called metaphysics. When you're feeling down, you should try something like this because it really helps get you through things. That's why we sing, right? We want to always sing our problems. Don't sing about them.
Oh, ends with the blowjob itself, we should, all should do that. Blowjobs are not just meant to be about our mouth. Our hands are a great accessory in any oral sex experience. You don't have to fit the whole thing inside of your mouth for it to be pleasurable. Your tongue can lick, your hands can stroke, you can suck on the tip, you can lick the balls, you can move around, and pay attention to what feels good. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So let's 69. It's one of those sex acts where you tend to be a full-on lover or hater. But no matter what camp you fall in, chances are that if you're having sex, you're going to come across the famous, the controversial 69 sex position. So why not learn some pointers to make the whole thing more hot and more comfortable? First, I share research with you that might motivate you to put 69 on regular rotation in your sex life. Next, I give you techniques for being an excellent oral giver and strategies like mindful masturbation to help you become a more relaxed and erotic receiver. Finally, I talk position tips like the sideways 69 and the power 69 for you to play with and take all your pressing questions on 69ing and oral sex. Happy 69, everyone. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. My intention is to help you get excited about 69ing, since it's the ultimate in sexual collaboration. Please rate...
Hell yeah. That's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, man. Hopefully my phone rings now.